It's a blessing to be here. How y'all doing this morning, church? Is the blood moving warm in your veins? It's a blessing to be here. I thank God for another opportunity to just break the bread of life with you this morning. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to have this word living inside you. And when you got it inside you, you want to give it like a gift. So this morning, this Christmas for me, and I want to give this scripture word to you. Amen. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, God. And God, to be honest with you, God, to be naked and unashamed before your people, God. This is a task, God, that is hard and challenging, but yet, God, it's an honor to not only just stand before your people, but stand in your presence, God. God, I'm humble today, God. God, I come to you broken. I come to you in pieces, God. Praying, God, like clay, God, you will saturate me, God. You will, with your hands, God, reconstruct and reconfigure and reshape, God, so that the preached word, God, can be heard. The preached word can be ministered, God. The preached word can be known.
Yeah.
And the preached word, God, will become life to our lungs, God, air. God, it will become blood in our veins, God. So, God, with your heartbeat, God, as you continue to beat and permeate through this place, God, I ask that you, God, now, God, just take what's corruptible and make it incorruptible this morning, God. Take what is mortal and make it immortal, God. Right now, God, let your spirit, God, reign, God. Jesus, take the wheel, God, take the reins. Holy Spirit, take now my voice and make it yours. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you. Amen. 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 As I said, it's a pleasure, again, to be able to do just what I'm called to do. And I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. And I got the word on Wednesday that I was to come here from Pastor, but God had been doing something for about 2 weeks now, really. To be honest, God has been doing something for about 15 to 20 years. But you'll find out about that later. But I just bless God for an opportunity. As I was dealing with God, and God was really dealing with me last night, God, I've been praying that God will allow me to do something when next I was able to speak. Of course, you know, whenever you're a minister, you're really an instrument for God to play. You're like a trumpet or a guitar or a drum, you know, a keyboard. Amen. That his hand plays and you just make the sound.
Amen.
But I asked God for a particular song to sing. And I asked God that he would play a song through me. And it's something that I have myself been dealing with. And I asked God, I said, is now the time? Is it okay now for me to go ahead and release this? And with praying and just fasting on last night with God, God gave me the thumbs up. He gave me the okay. But God has been speaking a particular topic to me for a long time. And it's something that I've dealt with for a long time. And the beginning of it, as you've heard, my testimony came with something that happened to me in my childhood and my youth. And I didn't know then what I know now about that situation. Now I recognize it was an attack that was trying to stop me from ever getting on the course that I'm on now. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And I know I've got witnesses. I'm going to ask for them. If you look back, you'll see that these moments and trials that came to you, some of you in your youth, as these babies over here are expressing, some things came to you it wasn't God trying to take you out. It wasn't God trying to prove something. It was the attack of the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And God said, Joe, this thing that you wrestled with, that you had church members and sisters and brothers who, when you came to this place, and even father the figures, call it out in you. And you've had them challenge you. You've had your very own mother and father challenge you in place. I can remember being at my home church as a kid, didn't want to do what some of the youth are doing today, stand and do anything. But, you know, my mom and dad would always tell me, hey, just go do it. You got it. You look good. You sound good. You can do it. used to hate Easter speeches, y'all know. Remember when we came? I came to save the day. Happy Easter. Man, I didn't even want a smaller speech, but I knew that God put this big mouth in me. He put this voice in me. So, you know, my mom, she got the same. I get it from her, so you can blame her. But God put this voice in me, so I knew it then I had to use it. But there was something that came at me. And I'm thinking, you know, as I'm sitting with God, I think it's all about me. It's just, you know, it's not about anyone else. But God said, this thing that has plagued you, Job, has plagued my people from the very beginning, from the very instant I, God, created the first church. Since the beginning, when I created the first ministry, since the beginning, this thing has plagued my people since the first marriage. This thing that plagues us prevents us from being all we can be. This thing that has plagued you and I has even been in this church, preventing you teachers, you preachers, you singers, you ministers, from stepping out of yourself and stepping into a place that you are afraid of, that you're concerned with what people are going to say. You're concerned with what people are going to see when they see you, what they'll think. And not only is it you, but now what's been plaguing you is now being fed to your children. Now your children really don't know their purpose. So they gravitate to any good sounding thing, anything that looks good. They run for that thing because this doesn't look good. This is not good. This is not fashionable. This is not in season. They're not wearing this in Paris.
Come on. Come on.
And neither are we. Oh, this thing that has been a cancer has been worse than Ebola or Ebola. Worse than AIDS, worse than any cancer. It's taken more lives than breast cancer. It's caused more deaths than any disease on the face of this earth. Someone just died just then from it. I'm sorry to be so gloomy, but there is a presence that comes to church with you, that goes to your job with you, that rides. You can get in the HOV lane because He rides with you when you're traveling up and down the highway. He's been a passenger with you, with us. And the enemy released him in the beginning. Before I get into that, I want you to go back to the scripture text that was read. Let's go down to verse 6. Some of you can already figure out where I'm going with this. Verse 6 reads, "And it came to pass, when they were come, and he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Verse 7 starts with this, "But the Lord said, Look unto Samuel. Look not on his countenance," on his face, on his presence, on how he looks, "or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him for the Lord. Seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart."
Amen.
Skip down to 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Here are all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him. For we will not sit down till he come hither. Verse 12 says, And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Anoint him, for this is he." Anoint him, for this is he. This thing that we're plagued with acts just like Jesse and Samuel acting here. This thing that it plagues us, it causes us to see things not really as they are. But because we've used these two things all our lives, we rely on this to be the judge of what's in front of us.
Yeah.
We rely on these things to tell us what we think is true.
Mm.
We rely on these things. Not faith coming by hearing by the, and the hearing by the word of God, but we rely on what we see.
Amen.
This thing I speak to y'all of today is called insecurity.
Okay.
There is an evil presence
right. That
doesn't seem so evil. As a matter of fact, there's some psychologists, there's some psychiatrists even, clinical psychiatrists, that say we all have insecurities and they're not really a big deal. We all just have to face our fears. Lie.
Hmm.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. But like the enemy, it's subtle. Let's go to Genesis 3. Ask God to let me introduce this thing to you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. This spirit has hid among the weeds and the tall grass. It's hidden a long time. It's hidden in your conversation. It's hidden in your relationship. It's hidden itself to prevent you from, like my brother, becoming saved. It's hidden itself to not unction you to do anything about it. Verse 1. Now the serpent, in chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Subtle. Not easily recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy to see.
Man.
This thing that we are wrestling with, and trust me, we are wrestling with it. And if anybody in this room says that they've never had to deal with it, then you're the one I'm talking to this morning. Exactly. No, excuse me. Because I was just like that person that lived in denial. And it crushed me. It crushed opportunities. There were jobs I wouldn't apply for because of this thing. I ain't the only one, I know. It's all good. I didn't feel qualified for some things. So therefore, I wouldn't even attempt to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not the only one, because I look around the room and I see nothing but talent. Mm-hmm. And it's not that like that Geico commercial, I'm not Pinocchio and I'm not telling a lie. My nose is not going to grow. I see nothing but potential. As I stand before you, I see an ocean of blessing.
Yeah.
I see fields and fields and fields of mighty trees that the enemy tried to ever prevent from germinating out of a seed.
Mm.
See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
That's right.
But there's a principality.
Mm-hmm.
There's spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
But that spiritual wickedness in a high place. Look low to find you early.
Amen.
And say, I gotta stop you now.
Thank you.
Now Jeremiah tells us that in essence, no one can see you in your future. I was listening to an artist, and I'm not gonna say his name. I don't want you to dislike him. I'm not gonna say his name, but he was singing a song, and he was, you know, and if he finished singing it, while the music was playing softly, you know, he's a pastor, so he began to preach. He's going to his preaching thing. And I can just imagine him doing his hands like this while he was talking. And the lie that he told, he said, and the devil literally looked over into your future.
Mm-hmm.
He literally looked over and saw what only God can see.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3 tells us your real life is hid with Christ in God. So he looked past Jesus and saw what only Christ sees.
Mm-hmm.
A lie.
Yeah, it's real.
Come
on. No one can see what God sees.
Amen.
About your life.
Amen.
Amen.
But this thing would have this pastor tell that lie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought he was ministering something good, but he was only allowing insecurity to seep in a little deeper through lies and deceit. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, excuse me, and God made, and he said unto the woman, this is the serpent speaking, this is in verse 1. Yea, have God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, verse 3, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. This is the beginning of the introduction of insecurity into the earth. At this moment, insecurity was standing behind Satan, waiting to be introduced. You know how you have a friend? You know how you have a girlfriend and you want to introduce your girl and your boyfriend to your friend, or you come to church, or you got an old buddy that you went to college with, and you meet your new friends, and they stand behind you and wait for the right moment. They're waiting for you to say, hey, this is my homeboy, this is my homeboy Junior. Junior, these are my friends. And they wait for that moment to step out and be recognized. Watch this. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Insecurity said, how you doing? For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And not only did insecurity come in, insecurity began to stay a little while. Insecurity began to get. Comfortable.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and that the tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. This insecurity demon spirit was introduced when God brought the family to earth. When God brought his first ministry, his first love. God loves marriage. God loves family. The devil couldn't see the future, but he could see God's love that was pointed to family. And it was right here where God and the whole world had to watch this thing take place. What am I saying to you? I'm saying the plan that's been trying to thwart you, pause you, stop you, didn't just begin with you. It began in the beginning of man. And the same tricks that the devil's playing now, the tricks of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, getting things to in your eyes look like something, are the same tricks that were played right here.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to make you aware, make you knowledgeable. See, now this knowledge gives me power. My people perish for the lack of knowledge, but you don't have to die because now you know where your enemy came from. Amen. Now your part this morning is to ask yourself, am I letting this thing happen to me? Am I playing this same trick? I love fashion, I love clothes, I love cars, you know, I love all nice, pretty things, I love a pretty woman, I date the most beautiful woman in the world, the God ever made. I'm killing it. But God had to ask me a question. God said, Joel, are you as cool as you think you are? Joel, are you as safe as you think you are? Joel, is you as secure as you would want to believe you are? I looked up the word insecurity, and I found several definitions. I'm just going to read these to you because today I'm only introducing something to you. Today I'm only introducing something that God is going to move, because what God is trying to get us to understand is this spirit is stopping us from going where we want to go, from going where we need to go. This spirit is coupled with the Jezebel spirit that prophets spoke of. That Jezebel spirit is nothing but a jealous spirit. Nothing but a spirit that will cause you to be confused, to cause you to think you praising God when really you praising it. That spirit was birthed out of the insecure spirit. Insecurity simply means uncertainty or anxiety about yourself, a lack of confidence, a state of being open to danger or threat, lack of protection. Webster defined it as not confident about yourself, watch this, or your ability to do things well. You don't believe in you. nervous and uncomfortable was some other words he gave. Another definition was not certain to continue or be successful for a long time. It went on to say, not locked. In other words, not locked, not closed in, not firmly grasped, not firmly together. And again, not protected. Other definitions were not confident or sure, uncertain, not adequately guarded or sustained, unsafe, not firmly fastened or fixed, shaken, uncertain, unsafe, and shaken. Satan's greatest weapon, and insecurity I would call his greatest weapon, but one of his greatest weapons is doubt. Satan loves for us to question, watch this, who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Or how we measure up to others.
Amen.
He wants us to feel insecure over the meaning and purpose of our lives, where we're going and how we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the question of life?
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
What am I here for? Where I'm going and how I'm going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that we as believers ask this more than unbelievers?
Mm-hmm.
We as believers ask this, we have struggled with these questions more than unbelievers got it. Mm-hmm. Unbelievers know how to get it together. They know how to hustle hard. But we're in the church, we don't hustle. We wait on the pastor to tell us. Wait on someone else to do it. Wait on someone else to give a praise. Wait on someone else to testify. Wait on someone else to go down to the altar. When you knew God was saying, meet me here at this altar. But because of insecurity, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what they're going to say. You hesitate. And the altar doesn't get you delivered. But it's your stepping out of your own. But what I have done for so long, relied on clothes, relied on a name, relied on other people to feel secure.
Amen.
Security was in my family.
I ain't the only one, that's fine. I don't need no amen.
Security is in my dad. When he died, what died? My security. My security was in a relationship with my mom. When that got rocky, what died?
Right.
Security was in relationships with women. When those relationships didn't last, what died?
Man.
But what's dying in you?
Mm-hmm.
Where is your security, God said?
Wow.
God is asking this one.
Yes.
Because God wants to begin something in your life.
Yes.
He wants to begin an understanding. First, you got to recognize the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know you can't fight the enemy without knowing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know y'all hear me talking about analogies, about boxing and football. I ain't the greatest fan of either, but I just remember growing up and seeing a house full of men watching boxing. My uncle and my dad and some of my older cousins, and I used to wonder why they're so excited. So that excited me. I wanted to find out. And one of the things I learned that what boxers do, boxers train for, man, years. They train, they're like Olympians. Their body is so cut, every muscle and vein is so detailed and pumping so well. They get their heart tested, their blood pressure, man. They just train, they get in top physical shape. But that doesn't make them the winner.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's all right.
That all doesn't right. make them the winner.
All right, man.
You know what makes every great boxer a winner? Is the fact that they studied the enemy.
Amen.
They studied their opponent.
Yes.
And after they studied their opponent, they match what they trained with.
Yeah.
They match what they knew about themselves
yeah.
and what they know about their opponent to develop confidence.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
And one of the greatest, I just love watching Mike Tyson fight. Because Mike Tyson was, you know, I'm short, so everybody's short, I like. I love when the little man, they used to play a video game called Mike Tyson Punch Out,
what?
And it was a boxer named Little Man.
Uh-huh.
I love to see that. And I love to knock him out. Because I'm the little man, so I want to knock out the giant. I want to knock him down. Hey, y'all, I ain't ready to fight today. But one thing I love about Mike Tyson, he had a wonderful trainer. He had somebody going ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that person that went ahead of him before he died, that trainer he had, that trainer loved Mike.
Yeah.
That trainer would go before Mike and already study the opponent. And then he would train Mike what to do to beat that opponent. Mm-hmm. He would go before him and study that opponent.
Come on.
And then he would train him what to do to beat that opponent.
Yeah.
He would go before him and train him, study the opponent.
Uh-huh.
What I'm telling you, this is what God's Spirit is doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God is doing this morning. I know this is not a whimsical preaching. I know this is not a hoop. But y'all gotta understand something this morning.
Yeah.
God has already gone before us.
Come on. Yes.
Our part is to study. There is an accuser of man who stands before God and points to mankind saying, look at your filthy people. Look at these church folk that go to church but they sniffing cocaine later on. Look at your church folk. They just got out of somebody else's bed and they went back home to get dressed in front of their wife and their kids and brought them to church. But they still smelling like the accuser of man. This accuser introduce insecurity to make you feel unworthy.
Yes.
To make you feel like, you know, I ain't even gonna go get saved. I ain't even gonna pray. You know what? Because I might not say the right thing. I might not look right or smell right. Wonder how many people went to the club and they don't come to church because, hey, I went to the club last night. When you read about Jesus, he would go to where the club people hung out at. He would meet the whores. He would meet them at right there where they are.
Yes.
But we're afraid to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God's plan, it's insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And like a good boxer, Mike Tyson would study his opponent. And I would love to see him in the ring. I would love to see that. Because Mike Tyson was always shorter. His wingspan, his arm reach was always shorter than opponents. People stood 6'2", and he only stood about 5'11". And Mike Tyson would knock people across the ring. Why? Not because he was so bad, because he knew something.
Mm-hmm.
Not only about that opponent, but what he learned about that opponent reconstituted, restored what he knew about himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Mike Tyson would get in that ring, and he would, his stare alone, his stare alone. And I don't know about their opponent, I don't know, they were trying to look like they're tough. But I wonder, did they realize that he's looking through them?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, did he realize in his short span of winning, was he looking already to hold that belt up at the end of the fight?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, did they realize that this man is going to knock me clear across the ring? But they didn't know. And Mike Tyson was square up with him. The fight with Dean. And Mike Tyson, he the way he punched, it wouldn't be like, you know, just jabs and you know, just taps. Mike Tyson uses his hips. He used his every part of his body. That's why his neck muscles and shoulders were so broad. Because he took that strength and he would knock, I mean, he would literally pain you when he hit you. But some of us, if we get in the ring today, insecurity will knock us out. Insecurity got some of us not even want to lift our hands to fight.
That's right.
Insecurity got some of you not even want to get in the ring.
Yeah.
Insecurity got some of us not even believing we're worthy of the fight.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Even at your age now, there's no purpose for you.
My Lord.
There's no reason for you. Insecurity got you feeling like, so what? I'm just going to go to church and get a word. Insecurity got you believing that because I feel certain tendencies, I am a certain way. Insecurity got you believing that I got a smidgen of a gift. But insecurity got you feeling like, you know what, because she sound better than me, I'm going to keep mine to myself. Insecurity got you not even want to pray over your children. Insecurity got you not even really want to give yourself to the Lord. Because he knows once you've done that, you've defeated him.
My Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
What's the goodness? Just like David. We look at things and we think, because it looked like that, that's not it. Some of y'all look in the mirror and you see that. Some of us are doing just like they did with David.
Come on.
His dad didn't even consider him.
Okay.
His dad didn't even think about him.
Think about him.
Yeah.
And how many times you don't think about you? Mm-hmm. How many times when an opportunity comes, you will push that off to someone else because you don't think you're worth it?
That's right.
I can tell you, I've done it millions of times.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you when somebody says, no, you are too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be nice, but.
Uh-huh.
Well, Joe, you know, that'd be a good look for you. Yeah, no. Joe, you ought to apply for that, man. That sounds like right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
I'm not collegiately qualified for that. They ain't gonna look at me. They gonna see my resume. It ain't gonna make a difference. Defeated already.
Mm-hmm.
See, the world doesn't beat us down. We beat ourselves.
Yes, we do.
We are our biggest. We are our biggest opponent. See, a lot of times you get in the ring and you fight the devil. No, you're looking in the ring, you're fighting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, the devil has laid a foundation. The devil has preached a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
The devil has, y'all want to hear the devil's sermon? It go a little like this. Good afternoon, church. I'm glad that you came in here, but yet you won't leave changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad.
Amen.
That you came in here. And while the spirit of the living God that I know was moving, you didn't get it in.
All right.
All right. You know what, I'm glad that you brought me to church with you to distract you throughout the whole church.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you left your phone on.
Yes.
And every time the beats are ringing, you look at it. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad that every time that the word of God is going to fall and it's going to free you, you get distracted. I'm glad that you didn't come forward. Ah! I'm glad.
Amen. That's real.
When you leave here today, you're going to forget what God preached in here. I'm so glad that you're more worried about what you're going to eat later.
Oh, God.
You're all being free right
That's
now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen.
That's what it sounds like.
The devil is preaching.
My Lord.
The devil is getting his message through.
Yeah.
And instead of us doing what Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his clothes, his way of doing things, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek the enemy. And we seek sources of security that are false. We seek names. And you know, we're running from names. Instead of running to the names, we run from names. And we live with names. We live with doubt. We live with unqualified. We live with not tall enough. Not strong enough, not pretty enough, not loved enough. We live with these names.
Mm-hmm.
Unworthy, worthless, stain, ghetto, ratchet, cold, thought, be, nigga, thug.
That's right. Man.
But you know what? I found some names. I found some names.
Thank you, God.
This is what God says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become children of God.
Yeah.
In John 1:12. I'm a branch of a true vine and a conduit of Christ's love in his life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I am a place for God to flow through.
Yeah.
I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener.
Yeah.
I am the vine, you are the branches. Mm-hmm. The one who remains in me, I in him, bears much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Because apart from me, you can accomplish nothing. I bear fruit. That's in John 15:1-5. I bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fruit bearer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is in case you don't believe me. I've been justified and redeemed.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I've been brought back to God.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That can be found in Romans 3:24. I like this one. I would not be condemned by God. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, God didn't come to condemn me. God came to build me up.
Yeah.
In other words, now that I've been justified, now that I've been set free, I got a new name, uncondemned. Now I got a new name, free. Now I'm something else other than bound to insecurity.
Yeah.
Now the chain is broken. I love you. Did you hear the chains falling? I can see the chains. I can smell the metal in the ground. I hear the clanking. I am set free now.
Yeah.
I like this. I have been accepted by Christ.
Yeah.
Receive one another. Then just as Christ will also receive you to God's glory. I am accepted by God.
Yeah.
I like this one. I've been called to be a saint. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be saints, with all those in every place who call upon the name of the Lord Christ, their Lord is ours. In Christ Jesus, I have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Yeah.
He is the reason you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's another name God calls me. He calls me a temple. Then he asked me a question. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Don't you know that you are a place for God? You're not a place for the enemy. You're not a place for doubt. You're not a place for degradation. You're not a place for depression. You're not a place for insecurity. You are a place. You are an area. You are a fixed point on a map. God, GPS finds you and says, I want to live in there.
So
look what the Word of God says, I'll be for you. Then the Word goes on to answer that God is more than the world against thee. And I love this. This is one of my favorites. And I'm going to try to leave you on this one. I love what Romans 8 and 37 says. After everything that's been said, negative. King James uses this old word, nay. You know what nay means? Nope. Not so. Hold up. Wait a minute. I know you ain't talking to me.
Or nah.
Hey, we are more than conquerors. Christ who loves us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. In other words, he's already loved you. His love came before you. His love came before the spirit of insecurity. Because it was his love that made you. It was his love that said, let us make man.
That's right.
In our image. Even before insecurity could be introduced by Satan, Christ was standing in the midst of insecurity saying, yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself. Because in me is risen up a kingdom. A kingdom that you can't stop. I'll let you have your turn. This morning, if you've heard nothing this morning, I want you to know that you're more. See, a conqueror, see, if you know what a conqueror takes over land. They take over the nation. They go and tell people who are doing what they've been doing all their life. They go and say, no, you're going to do what I say do. This is what conquerors do. This is more than just a team winning the Super Bowl. A conqueror literally possesses the land that they
have.
And you are more. This word more can only be defined by something always continuing. More is infinite. More has no end. Every time you get to where you thought more was, more goes. When you've done all to do to stand, you just stand some more. This is God's word for you people.
Thank you, God.
If you know nothing else, know that you're more than a conqueror.
Through
Christ Jesus who loves you. And is loving you right now.
Thank you, God.
When you leave here today, don't leave less than. Today, ask God to help you face your insecurity. See, I don't have time to go everywhere I want to go. You got to get my book when it comes out. It's coming out. I don't have time this morning. Keep me out of here. But I'm here to tell you right now, God is wanting to do more in your life. The part you have to do more is get into his word.
Yeah.
Get into the presence of God
more.
Don't stop for the children to get in the presence, but let them come as they come more. When they want to come to the altar and they laugh and plan, but they really want to pray, no, you call them out. Go up to the altar and pray more. You need to be praying more. The word of God says pray in season and out of season.
That's right.
Always pray. Watch as well as pray. In other words, God is telling you to pray more. God is telling you to believe more. God is telling you to hunger for Him more. Seek Him more.
That's right.
Go get more, and more will come to you.
Yes.